There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode, I think it's 201 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk, brackets, but .com will work too, brackets. It's another questions and answers. I have numerous sheets of paper in my hand, so please ignore any papery noises. So let's go straight down to the first one. This is a very short one.
We need
one.
To put in like some paper sound effects, Andy, because you always like this, say this, like so this. It's like, can we like, okay, let's have a look, see if I can find a paper sound.
Kelvin's now surging for
okay,
paper sound
ask me
effects.
The first question.
The question is, good afternoon. This is from Daniel Shaw.
Yep.
He writes, good afternoon, guys. Please, can someone explain to me how to have subcategories appear under your site address when you appear in Google? Haven't we done this one before? Or is this subtly different? Oh, sorry. That's Kelvin doing paper sound effects. Okay, Kelvin, if you just want to answer the question.
Okay, sorry.
Answer.
Yeah. So in terms of what
you can stop it. Stop the loop now, Kelvin. Please.
So basically the question was, what can you do to influence those links that appear underneath you? And I'm going to talk about, first of all, it in paid search, and then I'll talk about it in natural search, which I think was kind of what the question was referring to. So in terms of for natural search, it's Google kind of trying to guess what are the most important pages of your site. Now, it's first important to kind of understand what triggers those site links in the first place, and you will only get them to appear if you are getting a higher than average click-through rate. That's kind of essentially what determines whether you get site links or not, as these are known. Now, well, there's sort of two elements to it, actually. One is the kind of, if so many of your pages were ranked for that term, all of the top 10 would be yourself, right? That's, you know, was one instance. But also it's kind of triggered quite often, mostly on branded terms, where actually the result that would come in position two gets such a low click-through rate relative to what's in position one, that, you know, that's why they would, why it would appear there, because it's Google trying to make the site more useful. Now, in paid search, you have the ability to turn these on. And again, it's triggered by, you know, if you've got lots of click-through rate. And that's really, really useful, right? Because what that allows you to do is potentially have five different, because you get the one main link in a paid search advert and you get the four sort of site links below that. Now, what that allows you to do is potentially take different calls to action that you might have that otherwise you'd have to do on the landing page. So to say, for example, I won't go into all the details, but a client of ours kind of does stocks and shares, and they've essentially got like two main things that people would do when they go through on a search query. They can either sign up for a paid for account, or they can sign up for a practice trial account. Now, that's always kind of a bit tricky, right? Because if you put the search term in that they're targeting, and then someone comes through, you don't know whether they want to do a practice account or whether they want to do a paid-for account. So you have to do a landing page that kind of does both those things at the same time, which isn't really ideal. So using pay-per-click site links, what they can do is go, okay, well, we'll have the main one, which maybe take it to a generic landing page, and we can have one of those site links which talks about the practice account, one which talks about you know, a straightforward I'm ready to go account, and then they can use the other two to kind of emphasize other things that might be seasonal campaigns. They might you know, I think, say they've got kind of an ebook they want people to download, you could put that in as one of those site links. Or maybe it's a particular feature that's why you're better than other alternative services. They can do that as well and draw attention to that. And those within paid search are entirely under your control. You decide what, you don't decide if they appear, but you decide what appears, right? So you can say, I want this one, I don't want this one, and so on and so forth. However, the natural search ones, you don't have the same level of control. You can, using webmaster tools, block certain pages appearing. So say, for example, your privacy page is appearing, or an individual product that you don't really want people to kind of click through when they search for your brand name, you can do that. But what you can't do is you can't decide what appears. You've only got kind of a veto effect. But in terms of, you can understand how Google decide what appears, right? And the way that they decide what appears is based upon what you are sending the signals to Google is the most important pages of your site. So potentially, a good way of looking at this is if you go to Google, you type in site, S-I-T-E, colon, and then your domain. That essentially tells you which pages of your site Google think are the best, in kind of a rough order of sequence. Now, if one of those pages you would like to appear in the Google site links but doesn't currently, you can look at where it appears kind of on that search ranking. And if it's like position 10, you kind of go, okay, well, what can I do to make this better, you know, more like to appear? And that's kind of more internal links, right? So you link to that page internally, potentially more some more external links. But also kind of, it's a lot to do with navigation. So it's how prominent that link is in your navigation. So can you rearrange your top nav to make that work a little bit better?
Okay, well, hopefully that is helpful, Daniel Shaw. Moving on to the next one as he shuffles more paper. This is a long one, so bear with me. I might have to take several breaths. Right, this is from Ben, who, yeah, I'm not quite sure where he is. I think he's somewhere in the UK. What's that strange noise?
Is it
Santa?
It's jingle bells.
Sorry, Kelvin's playing with his sound effect loops again.
Sorry.
Okay. Right. Hi, Kelvin, says Ben. Thank you very much for everything you do on the Internet Marketing Podcast. Love it. I'm emailing to see if you can give me some advice about my own online presence. I'm a professional table tennis coach from London. I was from London. And quite new to the online business, etc. I started following Pat Flynn and was inspired to start my own table tennis blog / podcast / YouTube channel and try to make a living online from my profession. Ah, excellent. Those are my words. I chose the name Ping Coach as my branding. Mm-hmm. My blog is up at www.pingcoach.com, and I really like the name. It is a good name, actually. Those are my words again. Mm-hmm. I think it's snappy and easy to remember and had quite a good brand appeal. However, since learning more about SEO and the like, I realised that if I'm trying to rank for the term table tennis, it would probably be really important to have that in the URL. That has left me with the following options, and I'm not quite sure what to do. Number one, continue with pingcoach.com, but still try and push towards the table tennis keyword. I've put it at the start of my headline, just hope that eventually I get listed for it, despite it not being in my URL. Number two, try incorporating Ping Coach Table Tennis, maybe pctabletennis.com or pingcoachtabletennis.com. I feel like these don't really have the snappy ring of pingcoach.com, but might help me in the search engines. And three, have a complete rebrand. Change it completely to something like smarttabletennis.com, brackets. Obviously, I wouldn't nick smart from Pat, but you know what I mean, brackets. This might give me a better chance of getting noticed in Google. I've only been up and running for about a month, so I feel like it would be okay to have a complete rebrand if it puts me in a better position. I really don't know what to do. I want to make sure I get the best chance possible and don't want something like a poor brand name chosen when I was starting out, holding me back from doing well in the future. Please help me!
Yeah, no, really interesting question. And one that probably my answer to now is different to what it perhaps would have been 12 months ago. So I'm going to set the scene a little bit there. So I'm going to kind of introduce this idea that some of you might have heard of, which is kind of the idea of exact match domains, which are sometimes kind of referred to in the SEO community as EMDs, because everyone loves a TLA or a three-letter acronym. But essentially, exact match domains is the ability that if you're targeting a certain keyword, if you're able to buy exactly that key phrase as a domain name, so say you're going after table tennis coaching and you can buy tabletenniscoaching.com, ideally with no hyphens and, you know, just exactly that, and ideally the .com rather than like a .biz, or if you're in the UK, a .co.uk would be all right, but perhaps not a .info. And historically, these sites have been much easier from an SEO perspective to get them to rank for those key phrases. Now, that's the reasons for that are twofold. One is because it then becomes difficult for Google to determine if that's a branded search or a generic search, right? So how Google don't know that table tennis coaching is a generic term as opposed to something like, I don't know, John Smith's coaching. Right, say you were a company called John Smith's Coaching. They can't tell the difference that one is, or you know, they don't implicitly have the ability to tell the difference between the two. They might be able to tell because the patterns of searching is different from one to the other, but they don't know. And also, it's useful as well because potentially it makes it easier to get good anchor text links, right? So if you're listed in a directory as, you know, tabletenniscoaching.com, that's going to be in the anchor text that links back to you, right? So that's really helpful as well. So you've got these two of the main signals that Google look at in terms of, you know, does this page exactly answer that query? Well, it's the name of the domain. It should do. And it's also saying, okay, well, what links are people building to it and what words are they using to describe the site? And that's also a direct match. That, you know, really, really strong signal. So that's the logic for kind of going for a keyword-rich domain. However, more recently, over the last 6 months or so, Google have... People talk about kind of an exact match penalty. That's not what's happened, right? The way I kind of imagine the Google algorithm, and this is not how it works, but this is a visual tool I use to think about how it works and explain it to people, is it's almost like a great big studio mixing desk, right? And every factor has a fader on it, right? And the higher up that fader is, the stronger that signal is in terms of helping Google understand what should rank. Now, what I believe has happened and the way that I think it works for exact match domains is in the past, that was probably a very kind of, it was too high, right? Essentially, it was like, well, if it's in the domain name, it is a brand, so therefore it should outrank other websites, even if the other signals are saying that it shouldn't. And effectively, all that Google have done is turn that down to kind of reflect the fact that what people were doing was going out and buying hundreds of thousands of domains, bunging up, in some cases, not too great sites, just to try and target those key phrases. So all they've done is turn that down a bit. Now, that's not a penalty, right? That isn't a kind of, it doesn't prevent you from ranking from those terms. It just means you have to compete on a slightly more level playing field than you would have done previously. Now, for a lot of people, this is good news, right? Because there were people who were ranking who had not too great sites, but just had happened to buy the right domain early on in the world of internet marketing. So that's changed, which means that the justification for choosing a keyword-rich domain has kind of decreased over a period of time. Because if you're not getting that advantage, the logic for doing that, the, you know, the compulsion that you might have goes down. And plus, it's generally much easier if what you're trying to do is a kind of a more all-round digital marketing, you know, program where you want to talk, you want to use Twitter, you want to do a podcast, you want to do these things. Actually, what's really important is having a brand that you can understand. It's really difficult to brand yourself as tabletenniscoaching.com, or at least potentially harder than it would be in a name like Ping Coach, right? Because you can see the kind of visual interpretation of that. That works well as a Twitter username. Do you know what I mean? And quite often, actually, what you'll find is if you're going after an exact match domain, it might end up being longer than a Twitter username could be. So you then end up having to have some kind of shortened version of your name for your Twitter username. So therefore, you lose a bit of the consistency across them there. And it's just kind of generally speaking, anything that's more memorable is a good place to be. So whereas in the past, I'd say, think about your keywords. It might be worth going keyword rich. In most cases now, I go, think about how easy it is going to be to brand that business name. And if you can do good branding, you can get the rest of your on-site SEO right, and you should be able to target those terms.
Good stuff. So hopefully that is useful, Ben, and that did indeed help. So moving on to the final one. This is from Annie. It's A-N-N-E-E.
Yes.
Annie, who I presume is a lady. I'm not sure where she's from. But that doesn't matter right now. She writes, Kelvin, hope you don't mind a total stranger emailing you like this. Well, I think you'll find, Annie, that most of them are total strangers. I'm a big fan of your podcast and have just finished catching up on about the last 10 episodes, brackets, been slightly disorganized / busy at work recently, brackets. I have a really quick question regards the page SEO. It's embarrassingly simple, too. Basically, I wanted to ask you, should I structure my new website URLs like this? Here we go. www.domain.com/nursing-jobs-temporary. And then the other line, she's got www.domain.com/nursing-jobs-permanent. Mm-hmm. Or like this. And the first line is www.domain.com/temporary-nursing-jobs. And then the other line is www.domain.com/permanent-nursing-jobs. Difficult to say quickly that, but never mind. Or doesn't it matter too much, Annie?
Yeah, so essentially what Annie's trying to do there, and this is a kind of real good fundamental on-site SEO, which is that you want to try and get your keywords that you're targeting into the URL of your site, so into the page names. So this is different from what I was talking about in the previous question, which was on the domain. But so once you've got kind of, to go back to the previous example, pingcoach.com, and you've got the individual pages that come after that. So again, it's a similar kind of question. Now, it's good, first up, thinking about what your URL structure is and to what extent that reflects what users are searching for is a good place to be, and you're already in a strong starting point. And both of those two options that you talked about are much better options than sometimes the content management system's default options that might have a query string or 782521 or something like that. So you're much better getting that type of one already. So if you've got a website, anyone else listening who doesn't have URLs like that, they're usable, try and change it to that type of system. Now, when that's brilliant, most people go, that's the general SEO advice, is get your keywords in your domain, sorry, in your page titles and in your internal URLs. What the question is then, well, what do you do next, right? And how do you decide between different options? Now, simply put, it's kind of going to be, you want to kind of keep it systematic, right? So the pattern, the logic is systematic. So you either put it at the beginning or you put it at the end, as you were talking about, two options there. And how would I decide? Well, I'd make a kind of fairly simple decision based on search volume, or at least based on search potential. So I'd go into the Google AdWords keyword tool and look at which of those two orders, put it on exact, so select exact, not broad or phrase, put exact and see which of those two variations four variations, which are the most popular options there, and then determine off the back of that. Now, one caveat on that is you can do that and one might be more popular. You might want to make an assessment about which is the, how competitive they are, because sometimes actually what you'll do keyword research, you'll find out one version is hugely popular, but you'll also find out it's hugely competitive. And sometimes it's about actually picking your battles and not just all concentrating on those top two or three phrases. Sometimes it's better to kind of concentrate on some of the ones that are slightly less, the volume's less, they're less lucrative from that perspective, but there's a greater likelihood of you achieving something quicker, and you've kind of got to weigh that up. So how do you decide? You look at the competitiveness and you look at the volume, decide which is best, then apply that as a general rule across the site. But Annie, you're already thinking about the right sort of things, and both are good solutions, but one might be marginally better than the other.
Well done, Annie. Well, that wraps it for today, doesn't it, Kelvin?
Yeah.
And on the next episode, we have an exciting interview lined up from the guys from Kenshu. Is that the name of the company?
Yes.
Should be good. Okay, well, thanks for listening. If you want to check out the website, it's www.sitevisibility.co.uk/impodcast.
Yes.
And do keep the questions coming. If you want to send an email, kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.co.uk, or the telephone number if you're outside the UK, +44. If you're inside the UK, 01273 256 150. And please, leave an audio message. It will get played. And also, please leave us a review and a rating on iTunes. We will read them out. I sounded Irish then, didn't I? We will read them out, and we have read some quite amusing ones out. Don't make them amusing on purpose. And we will read them out, even if you call us camp. I don't know why you call us camp, but never mind. See you next time.
Bye!
That's what's getting us a reputation of being camp.
1 As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.